Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 78th edition of the Word Vomit Podcast, a podcast where we give our take on the worlds of video games, music, comics, movies, and television. I am your host, Emmanuel. To my right is the cunning Randy Kings.
I've never been referred to as cunning before.
To my left is the majestic Sean Venda.
Me as majestic either, I don't know.
And we're recording from Garage Studios. This podcast is free for your listening pleasure. If you want to help this podcast out, make sure you're liking, sharing, and subscribing. Guys, what is up?
Apparently, I'm majestic and you're cunning.
I know. I feel like that's reversed. I feel like I'm not. No disrespect to you, Sean, because you are indeed majestic. But I would use the word cunning for you more than anything else.
Thank you. I thought he got it right. I mean, you're pretty cunning, but majestic me? I don't know. Voluptuous, sure. I mean, sexified, of course. But majestic?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I think now you're being way off.
Maybe.
You know what?
With the word voluptuous, because I could swear that means like you're
sexy
fat.
Sexy but fat.
Yeah. You're not fat.
I've been losing weight, yeah. But I still have the curves all in the right places.
Okay, I'm never doing this again. Apparently that became a topic of discussion almost immediately.
Just for a hot second.
When I was just trying to be nice about it, like, oh, let me go ahead and list these guys' attributes, and 5 minutes later.
Just for a hot second. Not
hey
a
man,
big
it's
deal.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
We're sexy and we know it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was like, nope.
No.
All right.
Nope. Cool. I feel like that'll be our intro music for everything we do now.
What?
We're going to walk into a room. We're sexy and we know.
Boom. I kind of like.
And then it cuts off when Emmanuel walks in.
Yeah.
It's us two first.
Yeah.
And then.
I mean, I guess if we're going to be that way, then it has to be the whole record scratch.
Yeah.
As soon as.
Yeah.
I kind of like, why can't we be friends?
Well,
we're not coming out to the theme music that Homer came out for boxing.
That's great. I love it.
That's actually pretty good. I still like the idea, like, if I were a professional baseball player and they have walk-up music when they're at home games, I want the song It's Raining Men.
Really?
Yeah, to be playing.
One of the discussions,
like, really loud.
When we were, me and my friends were really into UFC, was what would our theme music be when we would come out to the cage?
Okay.
And I would always, I pretty much stuck to the same thing, and it was For Whom the Bells Toll by Metallica.
Sure. You're just going to come out as Sandman? I mean.
No.
He came out to, oh no, you're right.
No, he did not come out to that.
Sandman came out to Enter the Sandman.
Yes.
He did.
For Whom the Bell Tolls is a.
Completely different track.
Who did come out in the ECW with For Whom the Bells Toll?
I don't know.
We have to look, you'd have to look at old
maybe
YouTube
Tommy
videos.
Dreamer, I think. I don't know.
Because if you look that on the network, they'll have it where it's adjusted
to
their regular music.
Because they can't use the licensed music.
That's what happens when you're a low-level wrestling organization. You can use whatever fuck music you want because no one's going to see it or hear it. But then when you get bought by someone big who will show it everywhere, I'm going to change this shit.
Right. Actually, I think that's what ended up happening with CM Punk, too, was that they actually had to go directly to Living Color and tell them, hey,
can we use this?
Can we use this? Here's a wad of money.
I hope they give him a lot of money.
I would assume
those guys
so.
Need a lot of money. They deserve a lot of money.
Well, I mean, they even got to perform at WrestleMania.
They sure did.
They're pretty good.
Fuck yeah.
If they didn't get paid for that, that's going to be ridiculous.
They're like, what the fuck, guys? Come on, man.
And then actually, for Punk's UFC debut, they used Cult of Personality again.
Oh, cool.
So,
you know, because that's on brand with him. Now that's tied to him. You can't. It'd be weird if he didn't have that.
Yeah, and even like a lot of the reporters were asking, oh, so you used it again. He goes, that's just the perfect song for me. It's just, it's who I am. It's who I identify as. And that just means that Living Color is pretty much set.
Yeah. Is he still on contract with UFC? I know his contract wasn't that long.
He started wrestling. It's going back and forth in the sense of, he's saying that he's going to fight. Dana White is saying he's not going to fight and that he shouldn't have put him in there to begin with. not because of the outcome of the fight, but just because of, you know, CM Punk is not a trained fighter.
No.
He put in the work.
Yes.
He did put in a lot of the work.
Yes.
And if you look in there, he didn't back down for a second, even though he went down in less than a minute. He went in there swinging.
Yeah.
But Dana White just is like, nope, can't. I don't want to put him in that position again. And it feels like it's going to come to the point where if he keeps saying that, then Punk's going to say, okay, then I'll go fight over here.
Probably. There's other organizations he can go to.
He already started wrestling, so he showed up in a bunch of indie stuff already.
As a wrestler?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure?
I could have sworn. I mean, just yeah, little no. stuff.
I mean, he
maybe not. Maybe he did I don't
say
know.
He did say something along the lines of, "You may see me in a wrestling ring, but you'll never know it's me."
Oh, okay.
I just imagine him as a luchador now.
Yes, like wearing a pretty mask, much. That's pretty much it.
But his hair, because and he'll have like he'll say CM Punk on his shirt.
It'll be one of his or it'll be one of his old shirts.
It's a CM Punk question mark.
Right.
That's what I would do. I'm like, question mark?
And then like after 3 weeks of it, the guy unmasks and it's not CM Punk.
Oh, that'd be so good. I would totally be in for that.
All right.
All right.
Full talk.
All right.
We ramble.
So,
go ahead.
Well, that's what we do. That's what our thing is for.
Let me just go ahead and say Cult's Personality is a badass
that's
song.
That's an awesome song. I love that song. I love Living Color.
And actually, they're still making music.
Yeah.
If I recall correctly, they released an album about maybe 5 years ago, which is still pretty recent if you think about it.
Yeah. It's not easy to make an album by any means. For any of these bands who continue to do it, who can get past one, hats off to you, man, because that is hard work.
I mean, hell, even being a one-hit wonder is...
That is not easy.
It's not simple at all.
Ugh.
Trying to think of a couple of one-hit wonders now. Like
there's plenty.
There's Harvey Dangers when they came out with
Flying Pulsetta,
Local H.
Yeah,
that was also they only had a one-hit wonder. Oh man, there's so many of them, and they're so good. And I feel really bad because they only had that one hit.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like you guys were in the right direction, and then something happened, and
I can't get it to happen again.
Yeah, Crazy Town. Was also
Crazy Town
with Butterfly.
Oh.
And it's crazy because if you actually listen to the album, the rest of the songs sound nothing like that.
No,
track.
No, that's their one song. That's
the one song, which, by the way, is sampling off of Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
So
I feel like they're sampling their lifestyle. Yeah. If you look at how they were, you can look at them and be like, oh, yeah, you think you can be
that's pretty deep.
Anthony Kiedis.
Uh-huh. But you can't.
So I was watching CinemaSins, and I know we're rambling a little bit, but this is actually kind of funny. I was watching CinemaSins, and for anybody who doesn't know it, it's a bunch of guys that watch movies, and they just call out all the sins. Some of them are technical stuff. Some of them are, like, the most ridiculous things that you'll find. And they did one on Point Break, where it gets to the scene where Keanu Reeves just finishes boarding. And when he gets off, it pans to a guy that's just about to punch him, and he goes, "Discount Anthony." Holy shit, it's Anthony Kiedis.
Yeah, he's one of the surfer gang members who turns out to be a drug dealer.
Right.
Who gets shot in the foot.
And just did not see that. And you know what? He's not the only one who has acting credit.
No.
Flea.
He's in there. He's in Back to the Future.
And he was on, recently, Baby Driver.
Yeah. Which I'm like, okay. I feel like for those guys, they're like, yeah, someone said, "Hey, you want to be in this movie?" Sure.
I don't even think it was. It was just more so that they just happened to be like a block away at a Starbucks or something. They're and like, they're like, yeah, yeah. "Hey, if you're free, do you want to go ahead and jump on a scene or two?" Like, yeah, sure, why not?
Well, though, like, there's also weird ones. Like, was it for Iron Man? Was his name Versante was in there. He's one of the terrorists that takes Tony Stark in the beginning of that movie. But you don't recognize him at all because I guess he had done something with the musical scoring for the film as well. I'm like,
cool.
I remember seeing him there. I'm like, that looks like Frusciante.
Is that Frusciante? No, that can't be Frusciante.
And then I see the credits. I'm like, holy shit, it's him. I actually had to look and see if that's the same one because I'm like, can't be the same guy, is it?
No, no way.
Is Frusciante a common name?
So is that what he's doing now that he's out with Red Hot Chili Peppers? Okay. I guess that's still cool, I guess.
No, that is. That is.
I can confirm that is cool. You're part of the Marvel Universe now, sir.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't live long. I'm assuming that.
No,
I'm assuming all those guys got killed in that cave. But
you were killed in the Marvel Universe, sir. That's still saying a lot.
I mean, yeah.
A spinoff movie with that terrorist. Wouldn't they make a spinoff movie of all the random henchmen that were killed in the Marvel films? Like they all team together.
You know,
I think they'd be kind of badass because they'd be like the craziest squad.
Here's what I want to see. So, have you guys watched Talking Dead?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you know, at the very first commercial break, they always do the memoriam.
Yeah, for all.
I want to see Marvel do a memoriam for every character that was killed in their Marvel Universe movies. I want to see how long that goes for.
That's a lot. Agent Sitwell's like,
and you have that dramatic music in the background.
Like, oh, poor bastards. Here's the first guy that the Hulk punched in that one. Aw, damn it. He wasn't even actually hit by the Hulk. He was in the car that the Hulk hit. Like, oh, he did.
Yeah, he ain't getting up.
No.
All the dudes that
He's paced in that car.
All the poor Shield agents that were killed by Hydra agents. Yeah. It's like, oh, those poor bastards, you're all dead.
That was an interesting day at work if you were Shield. Oh man,
that must have sucked ass. You're like, hey, Bob, what are you doing? That guy, holy shit!
Yeah,
damn it.
Bob, are we cool?
Nope.
We better be cool.
Say something, Bob.
Nope. Yeah.
Or was it in Captain America's Winter Soldier? That pilot saying, "Oh, we got to get up there. We're the only air support for Captain Rogers." And then boom, killed by Winter Soldier. Like, aw. That whole squad on the ground got taken out by one dude.
You know what I started noticing is they're starting to incorporate people from Community.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
And they're little bit roles.
Yeah,
down but they're in there. Let's see, who was it?
Danny Pudi,
yeah, he was in there. He was a Hydra agent, right? He was just behind a computer, no less. He wasn't even an agent.
To be fair, he could have been one of those things where this is what he was ordered to do. He's like, oh, yeah.
And then the principal.
Because let me turn it on.
The principal was in Civil War. He's at the very beginning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who else was there?
I think that's it so far.
That's it so far, yeah.
So, I mean, unless Joel McHale's going to randomly show up. I imagine him being some douche trying to go on a date with...
Donald Glover already showed up in Spider-Man, so...
That's more...
But no, I guess... Okay. No, well, Marvel Universe, it still counts.
It's no... Well, that's not...
For now,
it's
until
not
that contract ends.
It's not that I'm saying that in the sense of... Oh, it doesn't count because it's Spider-Man. It's more so the fact that he's actually going to be built up to something, I think.
I'm hoping.
He's Prowler, you know? So
I'm hoping they get
anybody
okay.
else. Anybody else is just like, oh, a quick throwaway character, a bit character. But Donald Glover, it looks like they're actually going to do something with him.
Okay,
maybe,
hopefully,
yeah. In Spider-Man again
because he's also. But yeah, all right.
I found an interview with what's his name, the director of Community, whose name escapes me, and I feel terrible for that.
Oh, oh my God,
Dan Harmon.
Yes,
and he actually said. I realized that Community was ending when Donald Glover left.
Yeah.
Because Glover, not only was he like just so much fun to work with, but he would actually actively talk to the writers. And he would throw in like little jokes here and there that just kind of helped build everything up to it. And then once he left, that was gone.
Yeah.
They lost a little bit of the magic there.
Yeah. Well, even on his way out, the last season he was on, when he talks about how they were upset with... It's like they were making a reference to Scrubs and how Zach Braff turned his back on Scrubs only to come back. And it's like, yeah, what a jerk. And they're like, yeah, he only did that last season as a give me to them and then ended up coming back. It's like, and then they look at, obviously, it's not necessarily a nod or a wink to Donald Glover doing that, but it's like, this was going to be like his last season. He didn't have that. It's like, aw. Well, yeah. He's making movies and music.
Music.
Did you guys ever, please. going into it, did you guys ever find out what your Wu-Tang name was?
What?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Well, because...
Wait, why is this?
Donald Glover, Childish Gambino, is his Wu-Tang name.
Yeah, that's how he picked it.
That's how he picked it.
It's supposed to be like a generator, right?
Yeah, it's a Wu-Tang clan generator. Actually, I'm going to go ahead and pull this up now.
Okay.
So that we can find out what your guys is... Wu-Tang Clan name is.
Oh, Jesus.
So mine is...
It's not going to be Oh, Jesus.
And it's kind of weird.
I guess it wouldn't be, but all
it's
right.
It's excessive, like the letter X, and then cessive, ambassador.
All right.
I'm like, okay, that's kind of weird. So what am I an ambassador for? Am I supposed to make you go excess? Like, yeah, buy everything, become materialistic, eat all the food you want, and get yourself bloated up? Well, I don't know. Makes no sense to me.
Okay.
All right, Wu-Tang...
But according to Randy, you wouldn't be a part of that crew. They'd have to jump you in.
That's
what you did.
Me and me and Rock Rage.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah, for you too.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm looking at the same one you're looking at, but mine says the winged, the Baptist.
The winged, the Baptist.
Yeah,
for
that's
you?
Terrible. Yeah, that is terrible. Actually,
oh, okay.
I'm not a cool member of the Wu-Tang Clan.
No.
All right. Let's find out Sean Vander here really quick.
Okay.
If the damn ad would get out of the fucking way.
They got to get paid, man.
Oh, people Dirty Nerdy. Yeah, that's my name. There
no, they're not going to do that.
Oh, Dirty Nerdy.
No,
I like that.
But they wouldn't use that, dude.
Aww.
Can't do that.
Bummer. Do they use their own name generator?
Somebody already has that name. Or close to that. And okay. He passed away, so he can't use it, man.
Fine. Whatever.
It's sure. Not. You know what? It's not letting me, so can you pull it up on yours?
There we go.
Try again. All right. All right. Huh. Super Dad. Sean, okay, type it in. I need you to
you need
pick one and two. Pick
what?
One.
Oh.
Okay, this is pick one.
Okay, so I got to get your phone here.
Yeah, all just right. Pick one.
Okay. And then hand it to, start and then, by picking one of the below.
Yeah.
Here
I'm we go, folks. Wu-Tang name generator. I want to know who takes the time to make these. And like, is it, hey, this is a good idea. Oh, shit, we got to get paid. How do we get paid? Put up ads.
Okay, there you go.
All right. What's it say?
I don't know.
Ooh.
I'm letting it generate. I'm walking away from it. Because.
Oh,
I mean,
wow. It says Shaolin Ambassador.
Nice.
Damn, that's a good one. You got.
So,
you
wait.
Scored.
Did you use your full on name or did you use Sean Vander?
I did use Sean Vander.
Okay.
Oh. So damn it.
Should
I'm going to try
not
again.
Have?
Hold on. Let me do that again then.
Hold on.
What? Why?
Well, no. Because for me, I'm going to put my. Like,
oh.
No. Okay. So when we use your full real name. Yours is Scratch and Commander.
I like that one better. I like that one better.
That's horrible.
I like that one way better. I like, yeah, that sounds cooler.
I'm kicking this table. It's upsetting. Damn it. All right.
I'm just going to make sure mine's still the same.
Fine. Nope. Mine's not much better. It is. It's the THA, Winged Fingers.
That sounds like a weird foreplay sexual position, and that
the
just sounds
fingers.
Horrible. That's horrible.
Yeah.
At ew.
Excessive ambassador.
Excessive ambassador. Okay.
Here's the thing. It's not something that's randomly generated. You
no.
put in your name there, and you'll get the same answer every time.
Yeah. And well, I'm assuming it's based off the letters
you know
you're
what?
Using.
I'm gonna say I like Sean's.
Yeah.
That's actually really
you.
Cool.
So do I.
Yeah.
I like it too. It's great.
Amazing. Like all we got now, all we gotta do is get him a DJ setup, and he's all set, and you can just go.
I do have one. I have access to one.
Look at that.
I mean, whatever.
You're already halfway there.
So you cool. just need to get them wheels of steel and get them turntables.
Scratching awesome. Commander.
All right. No.
No. No. No.
You're
no,
like,
Scratching
no.
Commander.
You're
that's like, what we're talking about. We're not talking about the Shaolin Ambassador. No, no, no.
What?
No.
Why?
Because
that was.
I like.
Because that was. Because Sean Vander is not your real name.
What the? I guess not.
Yeah.
But, I mean. I use it online.
Yeah, it doesn't
I
matter.
Don't want
yeah.
people knowing
does,
who I am. But it's not that hard to find.
Is that what it says
I
on
am.
Your ID?
On my driver's license?
Yes.
It can.
No, it can't.
Yeah, it
actually,
can't.
No, it can't.
I've had $100 to spare.
No.
And I don't. And I hardly.
No, and you,
I hardly think that you're going to actually go and get your name legally changed just so that you can have the Shaolin Ambassador.
No.
For the kind of generator.
I'm like, dude, if you have money
no.
for that, then.
How petty do you have? How petty and how vain do you have to be to do
pretty
that?
Pretty vain. Unless it's your business. Like, you know,
yeah.
Stone Cold Steve Austin legally changed his name to Steve Austin.
Right.
Because people kept writing checks out to him as Steve Austin, not Steve Williams.
Oh.
Now, when you get to that status, sure.
Okay.
Sure, you can do that. But, you know, wait till people start writing you checks as Sean Vander.
Okay.
When you want to deposit your money as Sean Vander.
Well,
then that's
how I know I've made it. So, all right. Cool.
I guess.
Let's
I
do
know.
That.
I like anonymity.
All right.
People
cool.
know my name. So
you guys had actually sent me a couple of text messages about
yeah.
things that we can talk about on
yes.
this edition, the 78th edition of the Word Vomit podcast.
Yep.
And one of them that is kind of near and dear to my heart is the Crow series.
Yeah. We talked about that before.
Yeah,
oh
we have talked about it before. And
back and forth.
One of my
like
favorite.
A tennis game. Sorry.
What are you talking about?
Just like who's gets rights to it? Who's going to make this reboot?
Well,
who do we have for director? Like
we've
God.
Literally just
we've only ever talked about this
one time.
You're making it sound like we've talked about it seven
no,
or eight times.
No. We've only talked about this one time. But when we talked about it that one time, it's just like, man, there has been too many damn people associated with this movie that they can't get their shit together
really.
And made.
No.
Really?
No.
How many directors has it gone
through?
I think
you're thinking of a different series.
No, The Crow.
Either case, that's how movies work, dude. How many people think got their hands on any
but for
other 10 property?
Years?
Yeah.
I don't know.
How long did it take for a legitimate Marvel movie to get made?
And I'm kind of wondering.
I don't know.
And
man.
I'm wondering.
Yeah, it's a long time. Batman, the Tim Burton Batman series came out in the 80s. There wasn't a Spider-Man film or X-Men film to be seen until the early 2000s. That's a 20-year gap from DC's, you know, top guy to Marvel to make their own. Do you think that they just waited until that moment to make those movies?
Well, no.
Yeah, they have to go through a lot. I mean,
yeah.
Especially for a franchise that, like with The Crow,
it's
great.
They didn't have the money for it then.
Exactly. Do you think these guys are throwing dollars out? We had actually mentioned previously that the studio that did have the Crow rights, at least the first, I guess, recent time, they went bankrupt. So, you know, they had to get bought out.
Which
and
is
then,
why and then, it's, they're in talks again.
This is crazy.
But I don't know what conversation you're talking about, though, because I don't remember we talked about it, but I don't recall saying, like, oh, and it's gone through five or six different directors and this
There's
this
different
and that.
People who are attached to it. As far the only one I remember is Momoa and Bradley Cooper are the only two actors that were being seriously considered as the Crow.
And it almost feels like at this point it is going to be Momoa.
I mean, provided that, you know, his schedule is okay and
now
Warner Brothers is good because, you know, that whole Aquaman thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, if it works out, great. If it doesn't, as far as the Aquaman thing goes, hopefully he can jump into that part of the Crow easily. But yeah, apparently Sony Pictures has the distribution rights along with some help from another organization, as far as international,
to distribute it internationally. Yes, which is funny. Which is funny, but go ahead, Emmanuel.
No, please.
Well, it's kind of funny because Sony can do that, like distribute it internationally with no problem. But some other companies doing it, I guess they're busy. Like, whatever. That's
well,
fine.
You know, it's money. I mean, you want to. That's how these movies are made. Usually it's not just one studio that's doing it, it's going to be someone else, especially if you have more reach internationally. Like, if you were to want to get something going. Like if there's a, let's say if there's an Asian studio that want to get something going, they may have tons of dollars, but they're like, well, let's team up with an American studio so we can get better rights.
Okay.
For the theaters and whatnot.
And if you want to get into more theaters, I guess that works out. I guess that does.
Plus they could probably also work out a deal with other companies where.
And they don't have to spend as much.
They don't have to spend as much. And because they're smaller distribution, they can offer a little bit less money for the same reach that they would do and put more money into. That distributor would still be able to get their money, and they'd still get a good chunk of it, but comparatively speaking to going through Sony, like in-house, they would have to spend a whole lot more money.
All right. That makes a little more sense. As long as the movie gets more of a budget to get worked on,
I'll be happy with that. I mean, for a lot of it is... I mean, in some cases, not saying it's going to be the same with The Crow, but like, let's say Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure is a great example. Don't go, oh, that movie is fucking fantastic. One of the best time travel movies ever made. And I kid you not. Yeah, Back to the Future. And?
What do you mean, and?
You know what? They didn't have Wild Stallions.
No, they didn't have Wild Stallions.
So get your Back to the Future crap out of here.
They had hoverboards and... whatever,
but
I can't.
They had a time traveling,
and they time traveling DeLorean. I mean,
well,
I
was saying there was a phone machine,
we're gonna...
and they also met historical figures that were really dope, like Socrates. They did the one thing that most time travel movies don't do, which is have them speak in their actual language.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Socrates spoke Greek, and then they had
Napoleon
spoke
French.
Yeah. And then Bach was actually deaf, so he didn't actually respond to anything. Fucking they had
Socrates. That's
so
what they
crates.
Call it. Socrates.
Socrates. But in either case, that movie was actually an independent film and was on the shelf for 3 years before someone bought it.
What? Bill and Ted?
Bill and Ted.
Oh, that I believe.
And it's like, yeah. And then someone bought it, found it, like, well, bought the studio that made it, and then said, hey, what's this? And you're like, what's this movie called? Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Okay, made it and then made tons of money. Like, tons of money. Enough to make a sequel, and then a third one's still coming.
Hopefully. And Bill and Ted are coming back for it.
Yeah. And they had a TV series.
The cartoon series. That's right.
No, live action.
Oh, they had a live action
series?
There was
a live action series on Fox. One of the many shows that Fox put out there. I'm like, not that it
lasted
deserved
about
to be canceled.
Four episodes, probably.
No, it's was it like 14 episodes?
One season.
Okay.
In the 80s, that was pretty dope.
Yeah.
Rocked out. And they had freaking, you know, George Collins in it. George motherfucking Collins.
Rufus!
That's right.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
I just now thought that show lasted just about the same amount as Firefly.
Yeah.
No, because Firefly only had 13 episodes.
That's right, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And two weren't even aired.
Oh, Jesus.
Really?
Yeah, two were not aired.
Wow.
You had to get it on the DVD.
Oh, Jesus.
And that's not a dig on Firefly. That's a dig on Fox.
That's totally a dig on Fox. But all right.
Actually, Neil deGrasse Tyson says that's the most perfect time travel movie. Is
Bill and Ted.
As far as entertainment goes. Because there's ones that are like technically better, more, I guess, technically right as far as how time travel works. But it's the most
fun. If it were to work.
Yeah. It's the most fun. because there's not that many plot holes in as far as how time travel works. I was like, oh, really?
Ew.
Well, okay. All except fixing their phone booth with gum.
Really? Got to have lightning strike a car so it goes through time? Because it happens to, by chance, have 1.21 gigawatts.
In 1955, yeah.
It's like, actually, they did have nuclear capability. Well, they had an atomic bomb there. That was actually going to be the original ending, was the Back to the Future. They were going to drive through a nuclear test.
Back to the Oh, really?
Yeah, they were supposed to have it in there, and it was going to cost $100,000, and, you know.
And nope.
Like, then they're like, oh, I don't got the money for that.
1.21 gigawatts.
What do we do? Well, fuck, lightning. All right, good.
Cool.
Yeah.
But yeah,
So
in theory, Sony, they could just let them make the movie with whatever they have, and then they'll just take over as far as distribution. Because their distribution has got to be the most expensive part, I have to believe. Because you got to deal with advertising, getting it to the places.
Holding events.
Yeah, because you're going to
red carpet events and whatnot.
You're going to be in competition with a ton of other movies in that style.
You got to remember, it falls into the category of a comic-based movie, too.
Oh, man.
James O'Barr, this was his comic.
Yeah.
Which I'm still trying to figure out if he's going to still be part of it or not.
He's a little crazy town.
Well,
I say
a
crazy
little
town.
Crazy town?
Not in a bad way, because, you know, he's sad.
Yeah.
Like, life is hard
incredibly,
for him.
But yeah.
Life is tough, so.
All right, but.
I mean, there's a reason for it, is what we're trying to say.
It's a reboot. We'll see if it gets, I mean, it's a dope movie, but we'll see if it turns out really good.
You know, there's another series I actually was thinking about I'd like to see a reboot on.
What's that?
Just to see how well it would work is Highlander.
They've been trying to get that going, too.
Have they?
Yeah, I heard Bradley Cooper was actually supposed to be attached to that as well.
That'd be cool. I want to see that.
The thing about it is, one of those movies where I don't think you want an American actor to do it.
No, not even
you
want
to get someone, obviously, you'd want to get someone like from another country. Because I want to see them, if you're going to be the Highlander, number one, you should at least be Scottish.
Period.
And then, two, someone who can do accents. Like, the whole cast will have to do accents.
Because,
you know, you'd want him to sound worldly. Like, that's the excuse they gave to Sean Connery's character. He played Ramirez. Mind you, I said Sean Connery played a swordsman named Ramirez, a Spanish immortal who sounded like Sean Connery.
Yeah, I don't care.
And it's
that's
one of those
fine.
Things where we're like, no, it's because the idea is that he had to be worldly. I'm like, so you're saying the Spanish dude hung out in Scotland and then went back to Spain?
So, interesting.
Yeah, that's fine. Whatever. You're already thinking too much about it.
I don't know. I think it would be weird to hear a guy whose name is Ramirez and he sounds Scottish. Like, when you think about it, I'm like, oh, okay. Sure.
But,
like,
if Ramirez is attached to all that Sean Connery, you won't bat an eyelash.
You kind of do.
I don't
like,
know.
You know, he was also a Russian sea captain, still talk like Sean Connery. It's like,
oh, that's true.
See, it's like, I mean, he'll get away with it because he had been...
James Bond.
Well, an actor for so long.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like he'd been doing 30 years of acting and he'd gotten so popular. Oh, yeah, it's okay.
Just
like,
having Sean Connery in the
so
bill.
It's like, oh, but yeah. Now think about it now. If you got a nobody to do it, like, let's say, for example, we get Johnny Knoxville to play a guy named Ramirez. Are you going to believe that?
No.
And he still
close.
Sounds like Johnny Knoxville. You're like, no. Mm-mm. No dig on Johnny Knoxville. I think he's great. But he doesn't have the cachet to pull that off.
No.
So, with the Crow movie, the remake, do you think it's going to follow Eric Draven, or do you think
it's
going to be...
Oh, yeah. Reboot, dude.
Do you think it should be somebody else? Because it's not necessarily the idea of Eric Draven being the focal point. It's the Crow itself.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, there have been, not by Obar, but there have been other iterations of the Crow.
Right.
In the comic books, in the TV series even they had. We mentioned that before. I would hope that they would do it with Eric Draven, him being the more popular one.
The originator.
Original character. But yeah, I mean, just because it's a reboot doesn't necessarily mean it can be the same thing.
That's true.
So, I mean, well, hopefully everything works out. They can get, like, a good script going. They're
Please.
Supposed to make it a hard R, which I like, because that series, that book lends itself to that. Obviously, don't be gratuitous about it. I mean,
You know what? I'm kind of curious as to the soundtrack of it as well.
Well, yeah. Ooh, the movie soundtrack's fantastic.
It's so good.
Somebody's got to bring it for that soundtrack.
And, well, this was during a time where the music that you got on the soundtrack was actually in the movie in some way or form.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For instance, there was... Oh, man. I can't remember the band's name. I think it was called the Kill Cult Crew.
Thrill Kill Cult.
Thrill Kill Cult, yeah. Right. And their song is playing when Eric is in the club, mm-hmm. killing all the mobsters on the second floor when he grabs the sword. And what I loved about that scene was that he didn't display any remarkable skills with the sword.
No.
He was just swinging like it was a baseball bat almost.
Well, it helps that he's immortal. Like, bullets don't hurt him, so right. He can do whatever the fuck he wants.
Exactly, but... the idea of just like you would think, oh, it's this really fancy looking sword. He's gonna do some cool stuff.
He was just swinging it.
He was a brawler. He was just swinging that thing.
Yeah, he didn't give any F's about that. Like when was it T-Bird? Yeah, was it T-Bird Tintin? No, it was T-Bird. When he gets killed, they're playing. My God, why can't I think of the name of the band that was in there? Because I'm like, oh yeah. Now it's going to bother me. No, when T-Bird gets killed, when the song that's playing when the car gets driven off of the dock.
Right.
And he's set on fire. Yeah, that's, I'm like, that's on the album. Like, that's like the third song.
Okay.
Which I'm like, oh, yeah, this is good to actually hear the music that's legitimately in there.
And so whenever movies came out with like official soundtracks, and I'm like, where was this in the movie? Up? You know?
Well, what bothers me is that I actually own that soundtrack. So it's like, oh.
No problem. That's another good, that's a favorite scene in that movie.
What about you? What did you think about The Crow?
It's a fucking masterpiece. Period.
Yeah. I think Stone Temple Pilots. That's what it was. Big Empty.
What's it? It's
STP. Yeah.
STP. Okay.
Oh, damn. Man. A lot of good songs in this.
What's the song that they were playing when Funboy got killed?
That's a slower one. Yeah. I want to say... Oh man, it wasn't.
I don't know if it's Nine Inch Nails. I doubt it though.
No,
I highly doubt it.
No, that one was when the crow was flying through the scene. Yeah.
Actually,
when they played
Nine Inch Nails. I think that's actually one of the song you're probably thinking about is I think it's off the score because there's two albums.
Oh, okay.
There's the score and then there's the soundtrack.
Oh.
Which, you know, that was actually was one of the few movies where I bought both. It's like, oh yeah,
that's a good idea.
So hopefully, the production for the new version. They don't, not a dig on this band, but I would prefer that they do not get bands like Fall Out Boy to appear in this soundtrack.
Okay.
Please, Lord. I know, because I think they're on the Sony label, so for God's sakes, do not use them.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. See, these are things you got to think about.
I mean, the thing is that they have to be careful of, though, is that they don't want an exact replica.
No.
And while I do agree in the sense of, like, yeah, no, don't put Fall Out Boy in there. It does not fit the scene. Mm-mm. At the same time, you do need to find something a little bit different. Something to draw in the new people and fans like us of the original series.
You want it dark, but you want it to rock. So figure that out.
It's going to be tough. I mean, it's one of those things where, like, I've watched a lot of movies that get remade. And a lot of times where I understand why they did it and how they did it. Like, I recently watched... the new RoboCop movie that came out, which isn't as good as the original.
Clearly.
But what they tried to do was
buy that for a dollar.
Well, they tried, because in the 80s, it's all about decadence and money and whatever. Now, the new version, they were talking about, like, using drones in the world. And, like, that's topical. Like, they were trying to do it that way.
Right.
So it's like, is it as good? I mean, I think I like the themes that they used with it. The actor, he was okay. It's some of the villains they used. I didn't really... They weren't villainous enough for me, I guess, which I guess is what... It's hard because in the 80s, it's like, that guy's a villain. That guy's a villain. OCP is a corporation. I guess you can view it as a villain because they're soulless and they didn't give a shit about that dude or his family.
Sure, but comparatively speaking to what they did in the 80s...
Yeah, those guys really... Those CEO or those executives gave no fucks.
Right.
A dude got killed in their office.
In the boardroom by Ed 209.
And didn't give it... And they're like, we'll clear it out. I guarantee those guys are like, well, I'm taking this shit in his office.
Yeah, I'm taking guarantee this motherfucker's office. It was a corner office?
Yeah. Mine now. Mine now.
Yeah.
Secretary's mine now. Banging that chick.
Another thing about that is that it was actually in the early 90s that rock music started becoming more, I wouldn't say dominant, maybe a peg down from dominant. And because of that, that doesn't carry over now.
No.
You know, rock music is still around.
Not like how it was, though.
It's not exactly. It's not how it was back in 93.
Yeah, the movie came out the right time. Soundtrack was the right people. It was
it fit the tone. It fit the tone. Yeah.
It fit the tone.
So I guess we're going to have to... I mean, I don't know how this...
You know
how,
what?
Who's gonna direct
I don't... Here's my prediction now. I don't think they're going to go with a rock score.
No.
At all.
You know, and I'm... If provided...
More of like a dark classical.
I don't know.
I'm actually going to go with some EDM stuff.
Maybe a little EDM. Really dark. Kind of.
Well, like, because there's got to be a club scene.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. Why won't Nine Inch Nails put more songs on there? They're still around.
Well, it's mainly just Trent Reznor.
Well,
but it also it also depends. Was Interscope owned by Sony at one point, or are they owned by Sony now?
I don't think so.
Because there was a really, really massive fallout between Trent Reznor and Interscope. And Randy King's going to look it up right now.
Okay.
Man, I haven't heard that name Interscope in so long.
Yeah. Like, from my understanding, they had a really good working relationship, and then all of a sudden it just turned sour.
Let me see. Okay. According to Wikipedia.
Go Wikipedia.
It is an American major record label. Interscope and Geffen Records, AMN, Parent. Oh, it's part of Universal Music Group.
Oh, okay.
But there was something I mentioned here of Sony. I'm assuming there was a point where they were attached to each other, Geffen Records.
Okay. Well, with Sony having the rights for The Crow.
And you know what? I don't see it as a bad thing if Trent Reznor were to jump on that.
No, not at all. But with Sony having the rights to The Crow now, and they're going to be doing the reboot now, they still have, as far as we know, Jason Momoa is still going to be attached to the project.
Yeah,
that's what they've announced, yeah.
As of now.
And Corin Hardy's still attached to direct. Nothing's changed other than the people who are funding it now and who are going to make the movie now. But with it being Sony, I have a feeling that now it's going to be more, that it's going to be made. They're going to push for it to
now that it has a major backing to it.
I don't know.
There's no script yet.
I'm waiting for that.
There's nothing. But now with Sony attached to it, I have a feeling that they're going to be like, speed the shit along, please.
We need the money.
Right?
We kind of fucked up with Spider-Man, some other shit. We need this to work.
Yeah. Can it, please? I think that's what Sony will do.
We're hoping, because Sony also owns the rights to make the motion picture film version of Robotech. And they've been sitting on that for like 10 years now.
You know, it's kind of hard to do.
Me of that.
10 years. It's like, oh yeah, and they announced like 5 years ago. Yeah, we got something going. I'm like, where the fuck is this at, bro?
Yeah.
Oh, we took kind of a big hit from those Spider-Man movies,
and Fantastic Four stick wasn't actually that good. Like,
that's not a Sony picture though.
That's Fox.
That's not.
That's
Fox.
Oh,
that was Fox.
That's still Fox.
Oh, fuck. You're right. All right, cool.
I still want to see Fox. If they don't drop X-Men or mutants in general, I wouldn't mind if they drop Fantastic Four, because that means we would get Dr. Doom back in the MCU.
Yeah, please. That needs to happen.
That would be pretty sick.
Yeah.
But
and I've said it before. I'll say it again. We need a Dr. Doom standalone movie, just like we have a Joker origin movie possibly coming out now.
Oh, yeah, that's right. With
Leonardo DiCaprio's attached.
Leo DiCaprio. Wanting to.
Is he attached?
He's not attached. He has made his claim that he wants to be the Joker.
He wants to be there. He's attached like Leonardo DiCaprio and what's his face? We're also supposed to be in that cross.
Well,
I'll bring that back around. It's like Tobey Maguire, because they both like that franchise. They're like, yeah, we want to be in it. I'm like, that was.
Yeah. But he's got a lot of pre-production stuff going on right now. I mean, is he going to, like Leonardo DiCaprio?
I feel like he doesn't need to do anything, because he's
not really a set dude.
Yeah. It's like, I don't give a shit. Who cares? I actually don't want to see him as the Joker, to be quite honest.
I'm actually interested.
I mean,
nothing
against him, but I feel like
the scene that did it for me was when he was on Django Unchained.
Oh yeah, he's fucking great in that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Where he slams the table, actually cuts his hand up for real, and bleeds out, and still maintains character and finishes the scene.
Well, because he's a really good actor.
He is
like
phenomenal.
A really good actor.
He used that moment. Yeah. It was so perfect. And I'm thinking, I'd like to see him do that with the Joker. I'd like to see him put that same energy. It's not going to, I don't want an exact replica of that acting, but I want to see that energy and see what he does with the Joker.
He's good.
And I have no doubt that guy will put a lot of energy in that role. And it'd probably be really good, and to see what he would come up with, it'd probably be really good. Martin Scorsese to produce, though.
Well,
now I'm like, wait, what?
The thing is, I feel like that could work, or it could be like, when they said, "Oh, Ang Lee's gonna do the Hulk." I'm like, oh, Ang Lee's like legit.
But Ang Lee was he producing or directing?
No, he directed the first Hulk movie.
And then that's what happened.
With Eric Bana.
Yeah.
Which is parts of that movie I really like how he shot it, what everything was done. It's just the script wasn't good.
Right.
And it's like, oh, that's a bummer. So it's like one of those things where Scorsese could be great. It could also be one of those things.
But
like,
he's just producing, though. But, okay. But isn't he just like crazy controlling?
Who's Scorsese?
Right? Yeah.
I mean,
doesn't he have to have his way for a lot of shit? But I mean
it's worked
granted,
out for him.
It's good what he comes out with.
It's worked out for him.
You know,
yeah.
The problem in this is that whenever Scorsese has done anything, it's been primarily his own shtick.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but he's now, directing, he's writing and all that.
It's his story.
And it's his, yeah.
But now we
It's a licensed property.
It's a licensed property. I mean, technically, it's a character that already has their own depth to them.
Yeah.
You know, it's anything where it's just a villain of his own creation that he created. Now he is limited to the confines of who the Joker is. Now, there are liberties that you can take, and if anything has shown us that, it's Suicide Squad. But
God,
the Joker is
Joker.
Still the Joker. And he is. Now, if Scorsese were to make a Batman movie and create his own villain for that, then that, I think, could work really well. But this, for me, is a very... This is a test to Scorsese's ability to work within certain confines.
But he's kind of not really known for it. Though.
But, that's what I'm saying. That is why it is a test.
Huh.
If he can knock this out of the park, there is nothing that man can't do.
If he can do this,
if he can do it well. If he does it, if he messes up, if it becomes a whole fiasco where they parted ways because of creative differences, then you kind of get the idea like, okay, don't give Scorsese anything licensed. Give him money to make his own things, and you're guaranteed a really good movie most of the time. But if you try to give him something that's a licensed property or something that's already been created and has been around for a while, it's probably not going to work out.
Yeah. I don't know, man. That's why, Leonardo DiCaprio, Joker, I'm like, okay, that's cool. Wait, Martin Scorsese's producing.
And who's going to be the director?
For me. Yeah, and oh shit,
and who's the writing it?
That's
who's
true.
Who's writing it
and all that? But I'm sure Scorsese knows directors and writers, and hell, he could direct the damn thing. But please don't.
Well, so also understand that although he may be producing it, there's still a studio that's going to be dealing with this. And which studio is that?
Yeah, Warner Brothers.
Exactly.
And they are controlling, and they
have
their way.
I mean, they were cool with their boy Zack Snyder because he pretty much, they're like, yeah, do whatever you want. We just listen to what we say on certain things. I'm like, all right. And they let him do all this shit. Like,
And we're here, what we are today. Yeah, I get you.
Which is what? Joss Whedon doing a shit ton
of
reshoots?
Yeah, there's like more reshoots. It started out with, Hey, not that many reshoots. Just we're going to keep the same as before. And then it's like, no. It's a ton of reshoots. Whole kinds of other. I'm like, dang.
At this point, I wouldn't be surprised if it became a completely different movie.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. A lot of time, though. There's a difference between reshoots and then like completely scrapping it and then refilming.
Well, they did the same thing for Rogue One. Rogue One actually had a few reshoots in, and it apparently... was enough to change how the story was told.
Yeah.
I mean, I like that movie a lot.
Yeah.
That movie's fucking awesome.
One of my favorites.
And so it's like, well, we'll see. I mean, again, with the Joker movie, I mean, until they actually officially announce someone to play the role, which I'm like, oh, poor 30 Seconds from Mars dude. And his weird-ass Joker.
He actually recently did a tribute to Chester Bennington.
Yeah.
Oh, did he?
And Chris Cornell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a video out there of him performing a song in their memory.
I actually like him as a singer.
He actually is a good singer.
And it's like...
A lot of people didn't take him very seriously because he was an actor first before.
Yeah, he was for a long time.
And then he came out in the band, first off, called 30 Seconds to Mars, for one thing.
That's such a funny name.
And
so
then,
ridiculous.
But you know what? It was actually really cool. And
yeah, okay. I'll check that out.
And then to see, as in the sense of a band.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, you know, we got an actor, but dude's got pipes. The guy can sing.
Yeah.
And then it goes from there. And then there was a performance that I saw where not only did he start crowd surfing, but he started like melding with the crowd as he's singing. So he's going throughout the entire crowd during a festival. It wasn't even an arena show. It was a festival. And he's just going through it. But while he finally comes out at the end of the song, it's just like, damn.
Cool.
I have to respect Jared Leto. I got to respect that.
Ever the showman.
Yeah. Okay. But Joker's not that bad. I blame the script, really.
I would point out that it was weird that he was super into the character, so much so that he behaved very weirdly to his castmates.
Yeah, okay, that too.
You gotta love the method acting, but sometimes it gets too far.
But you know what's funny is that that's not method acting is supposed to be, everyone misses it, it's supposed to be, it gets misinterpreted. It's supposed to be, you're supposed to find some common ground with how this character is. Not, hey, I'm gonna live as this fucking character.
I mean,
let me give a box of used condoms to you, Will Smith. That's not.
He took it real serious, I guess.
I'm like, dude, that's not cool, bro. Don't do that. Don't do that, man. Did you use these at least? Or is it.
Don't look at me. It's not my scene. God. Like, all right. Cool.
You know who else I heard is very, very method? Is Sam Elliott.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Considering, I always feel weird because every role I've seen him in, he sounds exactly the same.
Well, first off, it's a very distinguished voice.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Keith David.
Yeah.
As soon as you hear it, you know it's him. When you hear Sam Elliott, you know it's him.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently he really gets into his roles.
That I believe. Cool. But it's one of those things where I can't tell.
Somebody had put out a small anecdote of how he met him. He was working as an extra, and they asked him if he wanted to do one more scene with Sam Elliott. And, you know, you're not going to say no to that.
No. I want to fucking hang with
apparently,
Sam Elliott.
Right before they started shooting, you know, Sam Elliott gets on stage before they hit, you know, action and whatnot. He goes up to him and he goes, you know, it's an honor, da da da. And Sam Elliott goes, shut the fuck up.
Dang.
And then
cool.
Does the scene. And then as soon as they're done, goes up to that extra and goes, I'm sorry about that. I was in the role. I needed to make sure I got it right. Apologize for that. And I was just like.
That's one thing. Staying in character is one thing. Fucking what's his face was Abraham Lincoln apparently the whole time in that movie. Like, suppose the story is that he would go up to, like, getting concession stands and everything, but as Abraham Lincoln.
That's funny.
That is a little crazy, a little bit, but
I would
get
like
it.
To hear Abe Lincoln order a cheeseburger.
It's like.
That'd be great.
A little weird. I'm going to say it's like, come on, bro. Come on, dude.
Want to see Abe Lincoln order a cheeseburger.
It's like, no. It's not.
Yes, Mr. President.
I suppose, but still.
Do you want cheese and fries on that? Yeah. Oh, yeah, you do. Awesome. It's on me.
That's not. No. It's a little weird because let's say you're working with the guy and you're trying to talk to him.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
See, again, I'm just saying as some people who have to work with him, it's a little crazy town. A little bit. But, you know.
Okay.
I mean. Hopefully, if they get Leonardo DiCaprio in for the Joker, it'll be something good. Because there's a lot that goes against him in this. Not necessarily from his point of view, but like just barriers. Like one, it's going to be the second Joker we see from a different guy, like within years of within a short amount of time since we had the last
Ledger
one.
Heath Ledger just nailing it, yeah.
Well, not even just Heath Ledger, but you know, freaking Jared Leto was just the Joker. Like we literally just saw him as the Joker.
Like, yeah,
on screen.
Did you see somebody made a fight video of Heath Ledger's Joker versus Jared Leto's Joker?
Oh, Jesus.
And like they had their own little gangs to them and everything. It was actually really well shot.
Huh. Okay, I'll check that out.
And
I gotta put the money on. I'll probably put the money on Jared Leto's Joker.
I think what they ended up doing was
because
fan voting.
Mob?
So I it. It's more so just like, okay, people, they told people this is what we're going to do. Vote for who you'd want to win.
Yeah, yeah. That's...
And if it's kind of like Superpowered Beatdown,
yeah.
Where it's they don't actually take a look at the stats and everything. Yeah. It's just more so of like fan vote. Okay, you think this person, here's that ending. And if the voting is close enough, then here's both endings. Here's the alternate one, but here's what we consider the official because you voted on that. I think that was the type of setup that they had for it.
Okay, cool.
I'll see if I can pull it up for you guys after the show. It's really cool.
And it's not by much. I'm not going to say Jared Leto wins by a lot. His Joker, at least. It's just going to be, like, edged out, so to speak.
Maybe. Just because it's a mob Joker. And he's got more resources.
I mean, the Heath Ledger's Joker had a ton of resources.
He did have a ton of resources.
I mean, his suit was custom made.
Yeah, he didn't pick that off from a homeless dude. He
made his own shit, though.
Because his, well... I mean, not like the other Joker, like Jared Leto's Joker. Like, it's not like he came across all that shit.
No, he had to.
He fought. I'm assuming he fought tooth and nail to get all that. You don't get to be that level just by chance.
That's true. My only thing Gotham as well.
I know. It's like, it's who needs henchmen? All right, here we go.
Yeah. But
we'll see. I mean, hopefully it all works out. I mean, with the.
And Martin Scorsese.
It's one of those. I feel like there's going to be a lot of barriers in front of this movie.
We'll just have to wait and see. Yeah.
I feel like we're more likely to see a good, like this reboot of The Crow turn out better than this Joker one.
Maybe.
Well, I mean, the main reason for that is because we still have Batman fresh in our heads. I mean, when was the last time there was a Crow movie?
Well, exactly.
Right.
But it's one of those things where, you know, there's obviously a lot of.
Essentially, what we have is we have something that we have a bar.
Yeah.
For Batman and for Joker in this case, but we don't really have a bar anymore for The Crow.
No, nope, low bar.
So,
I mean, we'll see. Yeah. I mean, here's the hoping.
Speaking of the Bat, by the way, the 25th anniversary of the animated series.
Yes, Batman the Animated Series came out 25 years ago. I believe it's 25 years ago.
Yesterday?
The 5th? I want to say it was the 5th.
Sounds about
right. It was this week. Whenever people are listening to it, it would be, if you're listening to this on the Monday, it was last week. But yeah, I can't believe that show is 25 years old.
Is it weird that I still watch that?
No. It's a good series.
Yeah, it's a great series.
I mean, come on, you got to remember, some of those episodes were Emmy nominated.
Yeah.
And Emmy award winning.
Yeah. I didn't like when they changed it over, but I get why they changed it over, because it was cheaper and they had to go in line with the Superman animated series, which is also a good series.
But, well, I mean, the main reason being is that when the animated series came out, it came out on Fox.
Yeah, Fox bought it. They owned the rights to it. They were showing it on Fox Kids. And then WB came out with their own network and went, hey, we got to move this shit.
Yeah. And then that's when they ended up going into that different art direction.
Not at first, though, because when it first came out, the Batman animated series felt like it was prime time. It came on a Saturday, like nights, whatnot. Sunday nights.
It came out Sunday night during prime time, yeah.
And it felt like. They put a lot of effort into this. They put a lot of effort into the writing, and it was just like, wow, this
Fox
show's
gave
so
them
awesome.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
They paid for this. When Warner Brothers had to take over, you're like, we got shit we got to pay for now. Fuck.
I think I actually saw a joke of that. I think it was, I can't remember where I saw it, but it was a 90s cartoon show that was part of Warner Brothers. Freakazoid.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was
okay.
on Freakazoid, and they had made a comment about that, and like they even had a silhouette of Batman. And he goes, I think he says, like, where are you? And he's like, on another network.
I'm Batman. A funny thing about the animated series is that Mark Hamill, who is the best Joker by far, he auditioned for that role thinking he would not get it because he was actually not the original voice actor.
You're right.
The first 10 episodes, they had a different guy as the voice of Joker. But they asked Mark Hamill because they wanted him originally, but he's like, he turned him down. And then he comes back and does it thinking, fuck it, I'm going to do this shit. I want this role, but they don't want it. They're going to think, hey, it's fucking Luke Skywalker. Okay, whatever. Does it the way that you hear the
Knocks
Joker
it out of the park.
And they're like, we'll take him. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, cool.
And he actually feels bad. He goes, yeah, I had to take some other dude's job. Because they recorded all this other guy's voice. It's like, that poor son of a bitch. I don't know who he is. I just know that there was another guy. And that Mark Hamill took his job from him. Deservedly so.
So let me actually quiz you guys, because I did say that it was Emmy nominated and Emmy award winning. You don't have to give me the name of it, but you need to give me a description. What episode was the Emmy award winning episode?
I want to say Grey Ghost.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a really good episode with Adam West.
Mm-hmm. I want to say Grey Ghost. I love that one. And I'm going to stick with Grey Ghost, actually. Though, where you see Mr. Freeze, that one's really good. That's still my favorite.
I like when he learns the Onemori touch, when he fights the ninja.
Oh, that's really good, too.
Who was, like, his classmate.
Or is that the first one, or when he goes to Japan?
That's the
one when he goes to Japan.
He has to go to Japan. Well,
that's the second one. That's the second one.
When he fights Kyodai.
Yeah, he has to go. Well, it starts in Gotham, and then he ends up having to go there.
Yeah.
And meet the sensei.
Such a good...
My only issue with that is that how he figures out how to defeat the Onimari touch was that he just looked at the dude's dummy and noticed that it was protecting that area more. I'm like, I feel like that's such a dumb
move.
That's
a gamble.
On
really,
number
on
one,
Kyodai,
that was a dumb move on his part. Like, I'm like, for real? You didn't think that no one noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
And then like Batman's like, hey, I'm doing his detective skills. I'm like, yeah, anybody would figure that shit out.
Yeah. But that's still a gamble on Batman's part, though.
Also, why isn't it, like, someone asked me, why isn't his whole, I remember watching that episode, why isn't his whole suit like that? And I went, well, that's a good question. Because, you know, he was a protective plate just right there.
I want to say,
and I'm like,
maybe because Kevlar wasn't a thing back then, but it kind of was, so I don't know.
And that's why I was like, I mean, I guess you could argue the same mobility, but I'm like,
maybe.
So you're saying it was Grey Ghost.
Uh-huh.
I actually don't have a thing. I just think one of my favorite episodes is when he
finds Am I close? Or, I mean...
Well, I want to get Randy King's...
Oh, okay.
Emmy nominated or Emmy winning episode? I don't know.
Winning. It was nominated for a shit ton of Emmys.
Is there... Okay. There's so many good ones. I don't know. What is it?
You were almost there, Sean.
Damn.
It was...
Is it Grey Ghost?
No.
That one was nominated.
It was Mr. Freeze.
Oh, the Mr. Freeze episode?
Was it Mr. Freeze?
Yeah. Because you had said Mr. Freeze, but you went back to Grey Ghost episode.
Well, his whole story arc was really good, though.
I had two others after that.
Like, when he meets with that Walt Disney looking guy, and then they're all fighting on the, because he puts him through that same, I guess I wouldn't use the word immortality suit, but yeah, the suit, because you know Mr. Freeze. He puts him through that.
No, just the first one.
Then
first
that one's
season.
Good.
Yeah, where you learn who he is, why
he's doing this.
And that
one.
Oh wow.
Well, yeah, but see, I like the series that goes after that, because that's when you see that he. They're on that ship, and he ends up, frozen with his wife in, like, that icicle. That's what I like. I'm like, oh, that's so good.
If you wanted to think that, though.
That was after the redesign, right?
Yeah.
But
I was like, oh, that's so cool.
Batman Sub-Zero, where he actually does, he has to kidnap Barbara Gordon.
Yeah.
Use her organs, because, you know, organ transplant and whatnot, to try and keep his wife alive.
Oh.
Was able to save his wife, but... He was in the at the end of that. He was in the Arctic and with a broken leg, and his legs wrapped in ice, so he can walk. And he's got ice crutches, and his polar bears are walking him off.
That's such
a
funny thing, because I get what's supposed to be an emotional moment, but he has ice crutches. I'm like, dude, that's not going to matter in a little bit, because your body's not going to survive anyway.
Right,
Mr. Freeze, he can't survive outside a sub-zero degree environment.
No,
he'll be okay.
No, don't you watch the whole arc for him? He doesn't have a body anymore. He has he has a robot suit.
Well, after that, his body starts to degrade.
It's like, but I'm like, poor son bitch. He should know that already. You're a doctor.
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
Yeah, actually, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was actually...
That's why he started to try and push up. That's right.
Yeah,
because
he had
that happened
suit.
In Sub-Zero.
He had his head comes off the suit and everything. And I mean, eventually they kind of fix that with...
Batman
Beyond.
Yeah,
but the Beyond is actually considered a completely different arc altogether.
Well, yeah, I actually like that one, because that one you're really like, oh man, poor Mr. Freeze, because he's definitely dead now.
Yeah,
he fights that that magma dude, and it's like, oh, I like that they did a nod to the terrible outfit that is Mr. Freeze's outfit in Batman and Robin. Because that's the suit that he has. Like, oh, yeah, that's the suit. He's like, in Batman Beyond, he pulls out this huge, where it makes him look huge, like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
But he's like,
where'd you get that?
Because I've been
storage.
He's like, in storage. Yeah, he'd been hiding. He goes, I've been hiding. This is the last suit I have. I'm like, okay, then. I mean, were you hanging out with a bodybuilder? Because that's huge.
Like, did you find out that Arnold Schwarzenegger portrayed you in the live adaptation of you?
I know. Is that what's going on here? And he was even cool. Like, he knew that it obviously wasn't his Batman, but he's still like, he's like, oh, yeah, you could tell him. I think he says a nod to him. He goes, yeah, you could tell him that, tell him thank you. I'm like, oh, that's nice. He's an old man. I don't think he
cares.
And
then died. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, 25 years of the series.
Yep.
And it's tough, because that's not something that can be replicated. Because obviously, there's a lot of good DC cartoon series that came after that. Obviously, Justice League, Justice League Unlimited, Young Justice, I couldn't get into it. I mean, it's cool.
I did.
And there is a fan base for it.
There is
too.
No, it's huge and everything.
I'm
at
over
the same
here.
Time, I look at him like, so like, why do I have you guys here again? Why do I care about teenagers?
But I'm right over here.
Yeah, I don't care about those teenagers who are fighting. Why don't you get to the big boys?
Because they will eventually grow up to be the big boys.
So do I care enough? So you're saying I should? It's like I'm watching high school football, so I can wait till they get to the majors. Is that what you're saying?
But for superheroes.
I'll wait till they're big boys.
Yeah.
I don't invest in that. It's like, who are you going to bet on? Like, if we were to take this as a fantasy draft, are you picking the Young Justice team over the A-Squad?
Over the Justice League?
Oh, for the current season? No, you want to go Justice
League,
like, of course.
Like, I'm like, if I'm watching a cartoon series, like, I get why there's not a Justice League cartoon series at the same time, because then you're like, why would I want to watch this if I can watch, you know, the
A-Squad? I really wish they would have kept it going.
Because different writers, different directors and all that.
Still a Bruce Timm production.
Yeah.
And I think it's actually the same writing team.
I think Dini was in there, wasn't he?
Yeah.
For Justice League?
Oh, yeah. Paul Dini's the best.
Yeah.
And Andrea Romero's still doing the voice, or still directing all the voices for that.
So, but it's one of those things where I get they're trying to make it fresh and everything. Although I will agree, I wish they did keep Justice League Unlimited going. Because that ending for the last episode is when they fight Brainiac and Darkseid. And it's like, there's more, right? This can't be the last.
Oh, after Luthor.
Yeah. There's the dude who saves everybody. I'm like, well. And then because they did definitely an ending where, because they had the villains that were in lockup help them.
Right.
Yeah. And they're like, we're going to give you a 5-minute head start. I'm like, you assholes. But like, they seriously just help you.
And then they look at Batman and you're like, you're going soft, old man.
Because they could pretend. I'm like, how about you just let them in? Don't be jerks. So what you're saying?
Wait.
Is,
so was that the last episode,
it
the?
Yeah, that's the last one.
I thought the last episode was the Batman Beyond one.
Oh, you see Terry McGinnis. It's more of like a kind of an epilogue, really.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah,
episode, but that's not bad.
And that's also not the last.
I guess official storyline wise, yeah, Justice League. That's the last one because that's the last thing that had anything to do with Justice League.
Well, the
last
episode you're talking about was actually where that's actually the ending for Batman or Batman Beyond rather. They consider that the end of Batman Beyond.
Good. But they put that on Justice League.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
Which
I don't care.
And that wasn't that the last episode?
No, I don't think so.
Are you sure?
Look it up.
No, no, you're right. It is.
It is, right?
It is.
Well,
yeah.
Let's find out. I just said I watched a whole bunch of this shit. Trust me. It is.
It's more so just like, you know.
Yeah, Amanda Waller clarifies with Terry McGinnis that he is Bruce Wayne's biological son, so... Yeah.
Which is really fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, and it's Bruce had nothing to do with it.
Right.
It was all Amanda Waller.
And
it was all
Batgirl.
Amanda Waller.
And Batgirl. Because Batgirl was almost about to kill.
No.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It was the Once in Future.
No,
yeah.
It wasn't Batgirl. It was the woman
was Phantasm.
That was Phantasm.
Oh.
It's Rachel
something.
Right. Yeah, whatever her face was. Yeah, but she was the Phantasm.
And she couldn't do it. I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was dumb. She should have just done it the first time because fate would have taken over anyway.
Yeah.
Would have been a different Terry McGinnis.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it would have worked out.
Brutally murder his parents, then would have been a different Terry McGinnis.
No, it would have been.
Whereas his
mom's
alive with. And
no, you mean it would just been Bruce Wayne again.
Yeah.
Because that's what happened.
Well,
that
was the whole point. That was what they were trying to do. But I also kind of like the idea that it wasn't another Bruce Wayne. It was Terry McGinnis.
Yeah.
You know, it was. Even though he followed along with a lot of what Bruce told him to do and trained him, he still was his own character.
Yeah, he's not exactly Bruce Wayne smart.
And there's moments where it's just like, yeah, Batman could be a son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Like in sense of like something that's going on around him, he was like very blunt and that ended up carrying over with McGinnis. Mm-hmm. There was moments where like everybody should be happy. It's just like, oh yeah, we won the day, and then here comes old sourpuss Terry McGinnis. Talking about how he's got to be better prepared the next time around. It's just
yeah,
no, that's right.
And then does later.
And then I forgot that whole arc. Terry McGinnis dies.
What?
That Once in Future, because they time travel to the future.
That's right. He gets killed by the
like that Jack. Not Jack. Is it a Jack?
Oh, you're right.
He gets killed, and then Bruce Wayne's like, "Oh, Terry." I'm like, "Aw, you didn't cry for that for any of the Robins, you asshole."
Right.
You can cry that hard.
It was if they knew what they were getting themselves into.
No,
dude, what the fuck?
I'm pretty sure he did.
No, he didn't. Not at all.
In private, I don't know.
It's like, oh, but
no,
yeah.
He never does.
No, not ever. He had a visit in Batman Return of Joker. He goes to visit, which I'm assuming that's supposed to be not. Is that Jason? No, it's
No, it's not Jason Todd. It's Tim Drake.
It's Tim Drake. He's visiting him in the hospital, and that's it. I'm like, this guy's been through shit for hella years, and you only seen him like twice. Come on, man.
Bruce is busy.
Really? Doing what?
Well,
Batman stuff.
He's not wrong. You remember in that last episode of the Justice League, the only thing that he can talk about is the world needs Batman. The world needs Batman. The world needs Batman. It's just like,
yeah.
Oh my God, you are an asshole.
Being a jerk about it. Busy, for the most part, he built a suit that he can't wear.
Not anymore.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That whole time, he's been old for a long ass time at this point. Yeah.
Let's remember, current timeline, he's 40 years old.
Yeah. So in mm-hmm. the in Batman Beyond, he's at least in his 80s and he's dying.
Yeah.
You figured slowly. At some point, because even Barbara Gordon, who's commissioner, is saying, I've only talked to him a couple of times. And, you know, I know he. So you want to talk about tough times, talk to Nightwing. I'm like, he has not talked to anyone in the Bat family this whole time.
Because again, he's always so consumed with Batman.
That's all it is for him.
It's mm-hmm. all about the mission. I'm not saying it's right. Yeah. I'm saying that's an asshole move. But
yeah, I'm like, dude, because you could have a whole squad of dudes helping you, and Terry, if you just said, hey man, how's it going?
I'm just saying.
I get it. Because Batman. At the same time, like, dude, he could have had a whole team continually going.
That whole Batman, the animated series, they jump-started whole Warner Brothers thing of just how their cartoons are better than their movies, period.
Yeah.
It's the truth. Watch Escape from Arkham.
Yeah.
That's the best Suicide Squad story you're ever going to get.
Well, I'm going to go watch that right now, then.
Actually, getting called Suicide Squad, I like Task Force X in Justice League. Because they fuck them up.
They do fuck them
up. That's when they take over.
But you don't get much of the Suicide Squad. You get the idea that Lawton's, you know, like, oh, shit, that's Deadshot, but they keep calling him Lawton.
Well, because they couldn't.
Yeah.
They couldn't call it that then.
I mean, come on.
It's a cartoon series. They didn't call that. It's that whole, because it's a kid's cartoon, they didn't want to use the word death. That's why Deathstroke's not Deathstroke. He was Slade.
True.
that's why Deadpool would always say, we're going to unalive them.
Yeah. It's just those weird things where I'm like, why don't you just say it? It's okay.
That was a cool arc in Justice League. But
that cartoon series sparked a whole bunch and made Warner Brothers, as far as their animation go, with Bruce Timm, essentially.
Yeah. Because
mm-hmm. that series without Bruce Timm, thank you, first of all, Bruce Timm.
Yeah.
Although I have my things with him, which I've talked about offline a bit.
Right.
Thank you for making such a good series.
All right. Well, we've just gotten a little bit over the hour mark. I think we were able to cover a lot of things we wanted to talk about this episode.
We missed one, but that's fine.
I mean,
I guess it's kind of a footnote, really, at this point.
As I always mentioned to you before, our topics are just like ideas we have.
Yeah.
We don't have to talk about them.
No. I know. There's a ton of topics that we've had that we didn't talk about.
Maybe next
time. Alrighty.
Maybe
next time. Final words. Sean Vander.
I just got internet back. Yay. Cool. And I binge watched everything I needed to binge watch to try and stay current. I will say I actually don't mind the Death Note Netflix movie. It got me to watch.
I almost want to stop you right there.
Oh, my God. I'm waiting for
the nerds to come out.
I'm waiting for Nerd to whisper, like, what the hell's wrong with you? I'm like, hey,
I know.
Let's be perfectly honest.
I will deal with them.
Cinex will wrestle you to the ground.
I know.
And elbow drop you and leg drop you.
And he will.
He will.
I will straight up throw a chair and be like, nope, bro. Back up.
I will deal with him.
Randy
King's
last words.
Nothing, man. Good time. Excelsior.
All right.
Oh, I want to start streaming soon, but I mean, whatever.
You had your last words. My last words.
Good. Fine.
Excelsior.
Sorry.
Very rude, Sean Vander. Very rude.
I said good day. Anyways.
All right. Randy Kinks.
That's it.
Just Excelsior?
Excelsior.
All right. I'll say what I said last time. If you think the enchilada is bad, the enchilada is bad. Stay shiny to each other, ladies and gentlemen.